Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to Living Hope, all of us here in the room, and those of you joining us online, we're glad you're here. I did come back. It was good to be away last week, and boy, if you missed Pastor Judy's message, I got to catch it online. That was a good one. You want to catch up if you missed it. We like to begin our services with this greeting that Christians have been using forever, as far as I know. The Lord be with you. Thanks. We believe that's true, that the Lord is here, that he meets us when we gather together to worship him. So let's bow our heads and let's pray to him as we begin. Thank you, God. Thank you for this opportunity to gather, to worship, to sing, to pray, to listen for your spirit speaking through the scriptures, to gather at our Lord's table. God, you know all the places that we've come from to come to this time and to this place. You know all the things that are weighing on our hearts, that are buzzing through our minds. Thank you, God, for meeting us right here where we live in the reality of it all so that we don't have to pretend that, well, we don't have to pretend at all, God. We can just be honest with you. We can bring all of our stuff to you today and we can receive from you the grace and the help that we need. Help us, God, to be open to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is Palm Sunday, which means that during one of these songs, I think the third one, we're all gonna get to wave these palm branches, if you'd like, that you see on the tables, and the kids are gonna come in with them, and it'll be a lot of fun. But we got a couple other songs first. If you're interested, Abel, let's stand and let's sing.
The splendor of the King. Clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great my soul, my Savior God. our God, and all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Amen. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat.
We'll sing that again.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Clothed in rainbows of living colors, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Let's sing in honor, strength, and glory and power be to you, the only wise. Kings, you are my everything, and I will adore you. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder, the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath, and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he.
Amen.
praises rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. When we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears are washed away. Washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praise. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hear the sound of hearts returning to you. We turn to presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna. Find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears are washed away. Washed away. Worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus.
Amen. I invite you to join me in prayer, would you? Lord, we do give you praise this morning. We praise you if for no other reason that you are, but because you are the holy God. And Lord, we look forward to the time when we can join the angels around the throne, singing day and night, night and day, for all of eternity. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. What an awesome thing to think about, Lord, that we have the privilege when we believe in you, when we follow you, when we surrender to you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to spend eternity doing nothing but praising you in everything that we do and say, in our whole beings, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to wait until that time to praise you, to worship you, to give you the honor and glory that you deserve. I thank you that we have times like today when we can gather together in this place or gather online, Lord, where we can offer up those sacrifices of worship, when we can honor you and we can praise you and we can glorify you, Lord, day in and day out in all that we say and do. I think we forget that sometimes, Lord, that that's what we should be doing. Too often, Lord, I think life gets in the way, I'm afraid. And we don't feel like honoring. We don't feel like praising. We don't feel like being joyful, giving you glory. But Lord, we know that we can trust that no matter what's happening, that you're in all of it. That you are working all things for our good. Even if it doesn't look the way we want it to look, even if it doesn't seem the way we want it to seem or end the way we want it to end, we know that it is for our good. And so we give you glory for those hard places that people are in right now, those valleys of the shadow of death. You are with us. For those places where jobs don't seem like they're coming or opportunities keep closing doors, Lord, we just pray for each and every one that is facing those kinds of things. But we also, Lord, want to thank you for each of the blessings that you've given us this last week, this last month, this last year, Lord. We thank you for the ways that you have shown up for us, the ways that you have worked in our behalf, the ways you have blessed us in ways that we could never have even thought to ask. And so, Lord, this morning, we do give you honor and glory and blessing and praise. We ask that you'll be with Pastor Rich. We're so thankful to have him back. Always, Lord, we're thankful for our pastor. And pray, Lord, that you will just be with him this morning. That his spirit and his heart and his body are rested. And that he has heard from you. We know that he has. And he's listened. And so, Lord, we trust that the word you've given him is a word for each of us today. Whatever it may be. May we listen. Help us to hear what you have to say to us today. Help us to be obedient to what it is you want us to do and who you want us to be. And we pray all these things, giving you honor and glory this morning. As we pray this in your name, amen. Amen. And now the peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you so much. Take a few moments, if you will, and pass the peace amongst yourselves.
Oh, man. All right. Hey, just real quick while the folks in the room are finishing their conversations. Hello again to those of you joining us online. We are glad you're with us, and we hope that you'll drop us a comment wherever you are. Or if you want to communicate something more private, some way we can pray for you or thank God with you or answer a question for you, you can use that link on the screen, livinghope.info/connect, and that'll come right to us. And we'd be happy to pray for you, thank God with you, answer your questions, whatever it might be. Any of us in the room could do that same thing. Or since you're here, you could just grab one of the little green cards off that little table by the door and jot your note on that, drop it in the offering box, and that way we can follow up with you if there's something that needs followed up on. And if you're giving today, you can drop that in there as well. Or you can give online. All of that works. Again, huge thanks to all of you who give so faithfully so that we can keep doing all the different things that we do around here, the ways that we get to love our neighbors here in Valparaiso and around the world. On the back, there's a couple things coming up. One this afternoon. This afternoon at 2 o'clock, I'll be downtown. We're starting at Trinity Lutheran Church. We're walking down to the courthouse and then walking back, and we're waving palm branches. So if you want to take one of these palm branches with you, if you plan to join us, take one with you and hang on to it. Show up with it a little before 2, and we'll walk together. This is not a protest, all right? This is not connected to any other things going on downtown, all right? This is a group of churches from around the county coming together to prayerfully witness to what Jesus did on that day and to his call to us today to feed the sick, to feed the sick. Well, we're going to feed them too. Feed the hungry, heal the sick, and welcome the stranger. And so I know I get to read a little scripture, and then we get to hear from somebody about experience of hunger and how that need was met here in our community, and there's going to be something like that for each of those three things. And I think there's like a choir that's going to sing. If you love to sing and want to sing, I think they're meeting at 1 o'clock there to practice. So if you want to sing, you can. And join us. The whole thing should be done within an hour. We're going to walk back afterwards back to Trinity Lutheran because it's just like 2 blocks away, and I think they're going to have some refreshments there. So if you want to join us, that'd be a nice thing. No one's wearing protest clothes or signs. The only signs will be one saying, feed the hungry, heal the sick, welcome the stranger. And so if you'd like to join us for that, I'm grateful that, I don't know, some of you might be big fans or might have been there yesterday for the protest downtown. Others of you might have gone by laughing at them and pointing at them or something. I don't know. Whatever side you fall on political stuff, this is one of those areas where, I know for a fact, there would be people there this afternoon, some who were there yesterday, and some who never would have been there yesterday, because they're on different sides of political stuff. But together, we're doing our best to follow King Jesus, and this afternoon will be a witness to that. So if you'd like to join us, grab one of these palm branches on your way out and join us. And if not, just, pray for us or something. Yeah, it'll be good. And then next Sunday is Easter Sunday. We're beginning this last week, most important week in human history, with Palm Sunday today, culminating in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And next Sunday, we celebrate his resurrection. So we would love to have you here at 9 o'clock or 10:30, just like always. And the only different thing, one of the different things, is there's going to be an Easter egg hunt in between. So at 10:10, in the little side yard over here, little ones are going to be able to go run after eggs and eat some candy and get all sugared up. I don't know what that has to do with Jesus rising from the dead, other than just it's something to celebrate, so and a way to have fun. But anyway, if you'd like to be with us next Sunday, we would love to have you. And if you have friends, if you have neighbors who are like, you've been wanting to invite them to church or something, Easter Sunday is a great Sunday because everyone's kind of aware, like, oh yeah, it's Easter. And so they're not surprised if you're saying, hey, you want to come to church with me? And yeah, feel free to invite folks. That'd be a good thing. Oh, and then the Global 6K, mentioned it last week, mentioned it again today, because that it's coming up May 16th. It's a way that we partner together with thousands of people around the world to do this little 6K walk or run. And together with World Vision, your registration provides clean water for a child who desperately needs it, like lasting access to clean water in their community. It's life-changing stuff. And while there was a special thing going on last week, this promo code for $15 off is still good for like another week or so. I think it ends April something. Anyway, don't put it off. If you're wanting to join us on May 16th, if you want to participate, that gets you, some other donor will pay $15 of your registration if you just use that promo code. So that'd be a good thing. Oh, and then down below that, as we invite you to pray for different folks, right up at the top, you can see, let's be praying for Linda as we're preparing for her husband Art's memorial service coming up on April 18th. So it'll be here Saturday the 18th at 11 o'clock, followed by lunch. And so if you'd like to be here that day, we'd love to have you. And we can remember Art's life, and we can celebrate God's faithfulness to us in all these different seasons that we go through. We love you, Linda, and we're looking forward to being with you that day. I feel like there's something else I was supposed to mention, but anybody know what that might have been? It's not written on my... Okay, I guess not. All right. Could we bow our heads again for just a moment before we dive into today's scripture? Thank you, God. Thank you for opportunities to hear your voice speaking to us today. For some of us, we've already been hearing you speak through the songs, through the prayers. We've felt the whisper of your Holy Spirit, or maybe we've sensed you shouting at us. Something that we desperately need to pay attention to. God, as we turn to the scriptures today, it's always our prayer that we wouldn't just be reading some ancient manuscripts, reading about things that happened long ago, but that your Holy Spirit would speak to us today. Help us to be attentive to what your Spirit wants to say to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I do believe that this week that we are kind of commemorating today, this week, that this is not just the most important week on the Christian calendar, not just the most important week for those of us who follow Jesus. I think this was the most important week in human history because this is the week that culminates in Jesus' victory, in his joining us in our human frailty, showing solidarity with victims of all sorts of violence as he himself is executed by the state, taking our sin on himself. Taking the worst of our sin, the worst our sin could do. I mean, think of the worst thing that human beings could do, probably like, kill God, kill God's son. And we do that. And he lets us because he knows that by doing that, he can defeat sin. He can turn the tables on the devil and defeat death itself by rising from the dead so that we don't have to live in fear of that anymore. This is a huge week. And it starts with Jesus entering into Jerusalem and people waving palm branches. We're going to read that here from Matthew chapter 21. It says, as they, this is Jesus and his disciples, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. This is kind of, as they're coming into town, it's kind of like they're coming over the rise at the Mount of Olives. And now they can see down into the city. It's kind of a little valley as you cross over there. It says, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you'll find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he'll send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. And Matthew quotes one of the Old Testament prophets. Say to daughter Zion, Zion's a reference to Jerusalem. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. It's Zechariah chapter 9. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. One reason there were huge crowds was because of the events that we talked about last week that Pastor Judy read to you and preached about, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus just lived in the town next door. In Bethany. And if you read John 12, as in John's gospel, John chapter 11 tells us that story. In the next chapter, Jesus is entering Jerusalem, and it says all these people that had heard about what Jesus had done, raising Lazarus from the dead, like hear that Jesus is coming to town. So they all are like showing up. They want to see this guy. They want to see, who is this person that apparently raised someone from death? And so there's a huge crowd, and they're shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna is not an English word. All right, or at least it wasn't until it's come to us through, well, not really through Greek. All the Greek language does, the New Testament's written in Greek originally. All that does is takes a Hebrew, Aramaic phrase that means Lord save, save us now. And they just transliterated it into Greek, which then we've just done the same into English. We didn't translate it as save us now. We just used the old Hebrew word, Hosanna. It came to be not just a cry for help, but it came to be like a shout of praise, something that they would say, like a way of praising God. God, you are the one who saves us. But it does carry the echoes of like, yeah, God, we need you to save us. In fact, it's referring back to Psalm 118. In verse 25 is where the phrase appears in Hebrew, Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. That Lord, save us is just Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he's made his light shine on us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. So it's referring to people with tree branches in their hand, boughs cut from the trees, joining the procession. They're going up to the altar, up to the temple where the sacrifices are made. And as they're going, they're saying, Hosanna, Lord, save us. We're coming to you. We need your help. This is what they're shouting as Jesus is entering the city. He is the king who's coming. He's being acknowledged Like, I think people are recognizing, oh, here he comes. He can raise the dead. He's riding on a donkey. Oh, this is just like what was being read at synagogue last week from Zechariah. You know, here he comes on a donkey, just like he was promised. See, daughter Zion, your king comes to you. Maybe this is the king. Maybe finally we got the Messiah coming, the anointed king who's going to overthrow these Roman oppressors. I guess that's the question that is raised by Jesus showing up in this way. Is what kind of king is Jesus going to be? What kind of leader? What kind of they called him a prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. They recognize that God is with them. They're recognizing this reference to Zechariah, that your king is coming. They're shouting the praises and asking God to save them as Jesus enters in. They're welcoming him with the palm branches, which by this time, palm branches had also come to mean like kind of a sign of victory. It wasn't too much before this, 100 and something years, 150 years maybe, that the Maccabees had revolted against the people oppressing them at the time before Rome showed up. And for a brief little period, the Jewish people were kind of free. You know, they'd overthrown their oppressors, and they were able to mint their own coins, and they were able to do some of these. And on those coins, they had palm branches as kind of a symbol of victory. Hey, God has saved us. He's rescued us. So it wasn't long after that, Rome comes in and just... You know, so much for that idea. And they're oppressed once again. So what kind of king is Jesus going to be? They're waving the palm branches. They're thinking maybe victory is coming. Maybe he's finally going to overthrow the Romans. There's definitely one side that wants that. One side of the crowd, of the people, that is looking for someone to free them from this oppression that they are under. Forced to pay exorbitant amounts of taxes to fund this army that then is here, like oppressing them, that's there subjugating them. This Roman Empire that if they dare to speak out against, they find themselves nailed to a piece of wood outside of town, stripped naked, nailed to a piece of wood until they die. I mean, Rome was brutal to anyone who dared challenge their authority. And here comes Jesus. Will he be the one who finally overthrows the Romans? One side definitely wanted that. Another side desperately wanted to keep the peace. They didn't want any trouble from Rome. They wanted to make sure that Caesar didn't look their way. They didn't want any attention, because if too much attention got brought their way, then he might show up with more military than he's shown up with now and might, you know, they might lose. They're afraid they might lose their temple. They might lose their what little bit of independence they were able to have in their day-to-day life. And they were worried that Jesus was stirring people up. So they just wanted Jesus to, look, just be a good rabbi. You know, just teach people. Don't stir up all this trouble. He had two sides kind of pulling him in different directions. And Jesus basically doesn't make either side happy. I think he still does that today. As we find ourselves polarized, as we find ourselves sucked in two different directions politically, I don't think Jesus like aligns himself with either side in our little debates. I think Jesus says, no, here's the kind of king I'm going to be. Here's my challenge to you. Here's what I'm teaching. Here's the life that I want you to live, that I make possible for you to live. And he doesn't just take either of the options we hand him. He does that pretty consistently. Every time he's asked a question, it seems like he responds with another question. He refuses to let people pull him into their boxes, their categories. You know, he shows up as king, and instead of going to like march on the Roman palace or something, he goes to the temple. It's kind of like that Psalm 118 says, you know, joining in the procession to the altar. And he goes to the temple, and he doesn't just worship there. That's when he shows up at the temple and looks around and says, well, this isn't right. And he makes a whip and he starts casting out all the animals that they've got in there, the livestock they've got in there, because in the temple, you had the main temple kind of building, but then in front of that building is where the altar was and sacrifices were made. In front of that was a larger courtyard where people would meet, and in those outer courts, that's where, well, they were called, like, there was the court of women, the court of Gentiles, but that's where they were doing all their commerce. Because they believed if you're traveling a great distance, you're wanting to bring an offering to offer on the altar. I know this is all real foreign to us. We don't offer animals, you know, like as sacrifices or anything like that. But that's a part of their worship. Well, if you couldn't haul an animal all the way from wherever you were traveling from, couldn't stuff it into your carry-on or under your seat, you had to buy one when you got there. And so you'd show up in Jerusalem with money, and you'd go to the temple, and you'd buy, you know, an animal there. Or you'd have to, if you wanted to give an offering, they'd come up with this whole system of like, oh, we're not taking those Roman coins. That's got some false god on it, or coins from wherever you are. You're going to have to change that money for, like, temple money, and then you can offer that to God. It's like, all right, fine. What's the exchange rate? And they'd, you know, some people think they might have been, thumb on the scales a little bit there, kind of cheating people out of stuff with that exchange rate. But regardless, there were money changers. There were people selling the sacrificial animals. And all this was taking place in this courtyard that was supposed to be for the nations to gather. I mean, there were prophets who had said that one day all the nations of the earth will stream to Zion, to Jerusalem. They'll recognize that, you know, the Lord is God, and they will want to learn from him. How do we, you know, who are you, and how do we live this life? How do we honor you as king? How do we, you know, and they're going to come. They're going to want to finally, everyone's going to acknowledge us. And the court of the Gentiles, this big outer court, was where those people would show up. If there were someone who wasn't Jewish, that's what Gentile means. If there was somebody who wasn't part of the Jewish people and they showed up and they wanted to learn, that's where they couldn't go on into that next section. So that's where they would have to stand, trying to listen, trying to hear, trying to participate in the songs or in the scriptures being read. And it's kind of hard to do that when there's animals being bought and sold and there's people changing money over here. And so Jesus says, look, this... He quotes a scripture that says, where God says, my house will be a house of prayer for all nations. And he gets the commerce out of there. Instead of challenging the Romans, he challenges them and the way that they're worshiping and the way they're not making room for people who might want to learn, people different from them, who might want to take steps toward our good God. He's challenged in the courtyards as they're teaching, as they're asking him questions, and they're, again, some people are trying to get him, they're trying to pin him into a corner. He's got to pick sides. And so they say, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? I'm thinking he's either going to make them happy and say, no, of course not. You know, and then we'll say, we got him. See, he's rebelling against Caesar. He's trying to cause an uprising. Crucify him. Or he'll say, well, of course you pay taxes to Caesar. You know, and then those people will get upset and he'll kind of lose the crowds that are. And that's where Jesus instead says, well, anybody got a Roman coin? Got a coin on you? Anybody? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's see. He says, whose picture is that? Whose inscription? So that's Caesar. Okay, great. Give Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give to God what belongs to God. He's saying, look, let Caesar have his money, but you belong to God. God has placed his imprint on you. You're created in the image of God. God owns you. So give God, give yourself to God. If Caesar wants the coins, fine, let him have them, but you belong to God. And there are some people who are like, wait a minute, no, he's saying it's okay to pay taxes. He's not gonna challenge Caesar's claim. There are all kinds of ways that Jesus doesn't do what the people want him to do. He's not being the king that they want him to be. It reminds me of a story back in the Old Testament. I put some of it there in your notes from 1 Samuel chapter 8. This is back in the day where God was leading his people of Israel in the promised land. And he was sending, we call them judges, but you know, leaders to lead the people. And Samuel, who was a priest, was one of the first ones of those. Not one of the first ones. This is later in the story. I'm getting my ancient Israel history mixed up. Sorry. Anyway, Samuel the priest is leading the people. And he's getting up there in years. His kids are no good. And so the people are coming to Samuel saying, give us a king. And Samuel tries to warn them, like, look, if you have a king, he's going to tax you. He's going to take your kids, make them fight in wars. It's not going to be pretty. And in verses 19 to 20 says, the people refused to listen to Samuel. No, they said, we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles. They wanted to be like everyone else. And Samuel felt like they were rejecting his leadership, but God says, look, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. Back in verse 7, he says, they've rejected me as their king. God wanted to be their king. God wanted them to look to him. He wanted them to be different from the other nations. He was wanting to provide an alternative to, you know, the politics of their day. Just like today, he wants to do the same. I'm not opposed at all to being engaged in politics. I think it's a good thing. I think as citizens of this fine country, we should. Well, man, I've learned you got to be really careful. If you donate anything to a political campaign, like at the national level, you're going to get text messages for the rest of your life. Man, made a couple donations like 2 months ago, you know, and like, oh, five, you know, Facebook thing scrolls by, like, oh, yeah, I like that person. Here, here's $5. And I've been getting text messages from every candidate under the sun. Stop. 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 Anyway, it's good to be engaged politically. I think that's a good thing. We should vote. And you should even protest if you feel like you need to protest, you know, or counter-protest if you just, you know, speak up. Shape the society that we live in. I'm glad we live in a society, in a nation that lets us do that. But if we pin our hopes there, if we think that's how, I don't know, we're going to win or something. If we want to just be like everyone else, you know, God wants to be our king. He wants to be the one who leads us. He doesn't want us to be like Israel, just want to be like everybody else, like all the other nations. He's trying to provide something different. Jesus is coming to be something different, a different kind of king, not what anybody expected. If you read Luke's gospel in Luke chapter 19, I put this there in your notes, as he enters the city, it says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. The crowds are still singing his praises, and Jesus starts to cry, starts to weep, and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They'll dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. And that happened just a few decades later. Rome came in and knocked the city down as brutally as they always do. And Jesus weeps when he recognizes that they don't recognize, when he realizes that they're not going to accept him as the king that God wants him to be, as they realize that they're rejecting God as king. God is coming to them in his son, Jesus Christ. And he's realizing they don't want me to be the kind of king that God wants them to have. They don't want a prince of peace. They might want someone to keep the peace, but I'm not here for that either. So when he realizes that they're not recognizing the time of God showing up, it's like they're not going to get peace. Even if you win the political battle, it doesn't lead to peace. Jesus is the one that leads us in a way of life, a life of love, a life of grace, a life that leads to real peace inside and out. He calls us to it. He invites us into it if we'll just recognize. And that, I gotta say, that passage right there always makes me a little bit nervous. I'm like, okay, God, am I recognizing what you're trying to do in my life today? Or am I just as blind as they were? Am I just as committed to my categories that I have for how life ought to go? That I'm going to miss the life that you're calling me to. I don't want to miss it. I want to make sure that I'm letting Jesus speak and not just reading his words through whatever lens is handed to me by this side or the other side. I want to follow Jesus. I want to recognize the activity of God in my life and in our world, and I want to be a part of that. They didn't. And while Sunday they're welcoming him with a parade, ticker tape, the whole deal, by Friday, Jesus has been arrested. The religious leaders found somebody to turn on him, to help them arrest him at night when the crowds weren't around. And Jesus goes willingly with them. Has a little sham trial before the religious leaders. They hand him off to the Romans. And by Friday, Jesus has been beaten, mocked. The soldiers, the Roman soldiers, they put a crown of thorns on him and a purple robe. Like, oh, you're the king, huh? Oh, here we go. Here's your crown. Here's your robe. And then they're smacking him and spitting on him, and bowing down. Oh, hail, King of the Jews. You guys are so powerful. And a bloody, beat-up Jesus gets hauled out. Oh, I guess before this moment in John 19, I forgot, there's the moment where Pilate's saying like, hey, we always release a prisoner at this time. And Pilate's kind of feeling a little uneasy. He feels like his hand's kind of being forced here. He's like, you want me to release your king to you, Jesus, or who do you want? You know, he offers him to the crowd and they're like, no, take him away. Give us, there's another prisoner at the time named Jesus Barabbas. And they're like, give us him. He had been a revolutionary. He was imprisoned for trying to overthrow Rome. And like, that's the Jesus we want, Jesus Barabbas. We don't want that Jesus. We want a king who'll do what we want, not a king who calls us to something else. Not a king who leads us. Jesus had told his disciples, right? If you're going to follow me, pick up your cross and follow me. He'd already told them, The way of life that I'm leading you into is a life of service. It's a life that sometimes means suffering. It's a life where you'll find yourself mocked. It's a life where others will see you as a loser and mock you as one. And who wants that? So by Friday, Pilate is saying, here is your king, as he's presenting him to the Jewish people. But they shouted, take him away, crucify him. Shall I crucify your king? Pilate asked. We have no king but Caesar, the chief priest answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him. And with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. Usually they would put the charges, what they'd been convicted of, the reason they're strung up there to die. And his read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Here is your king. Jesus could have called on legions of angels. He could have rescued himself. He could have, you know, with the power in his pinky finger, just, you know, like knocked Pilate off his throne. But he knew there was a bigger victory being won here. He knew that if he allowed sin and evil to think they had defeated him, that if he went to the place of death, that he could overthrow death, that he could defeat them from the inside out, that he could turn things upside down, that he could help us see finally the horror of our sin, so that we might be willing to say, okay, God, you're right. We got some ugliness in us. We got some evil looking in our hearts and not staying there, but it's coming out. And instead of condemning us for it, Jesus offers forgiveness. This is our King, who, just like a chapter earlier in Matthew's gospel, had told his disciples, the Son of Man, referring to himself, did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many, including you, including me. Here is our King. The one who is willing to lose for our sake, for our good. Trusting in God, just like we are called to. Trusting that, like Pastor Judy said last week, as we saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, sin, death, they don't get the final say in our lives. God does. And here and now, it might look like losing. It might look like dying. But we know that's not the whole story. That's not the end of the story. We know that God works even through the worst kinds of evil to bring good. And we see that in Jesus. Here is our King. Will we allow Jesus to be king, or are we going to insist on our own kind of king? Are we going to let Jesus be the one who sets the terms of this relationship, or are we going to be the ones? We say, no, I'll follow you if you'll lead me where I want to go. Are we going to let Jesus, are we going to let God be our King? And kind of a theme of this whole series has been it's a journey toward freedom. And if we want true freedom, if we want true peace, then we will say yes to Jesus. Allow him to be King. Allow him to lead us. Allow him to forgive us. Allow him to change us into the kinds of people who find ourselves then willing to sacrifice for the sake of others, to lose so that others might win. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray to him before we celebrate communion together this morning. God, thank you. Thank you for doing the unexpected. Thank you for not just giving us what we asked for, but instead giving us what you knew we needed. God, there are so many times that we think we've got it figured out. And if you would just do what I say, if you would just do what we want, then finally we would have peace. Then finally we would have the life that we think we're supposed to have. And God, I pray that you would forgive us for that, that you would help us to get beyond that, to come to a place where we are willing to say, okay, God, here's what I want. Here's what I'm asking you for. Here's what seems best to me, but it's not what I want, but it's about what you want, God. And so I will trust you. You modeled that for us in Jesus. That very prayer, not my will, but yours be done. Help us. Help us to live in the way of Jesus, the way Jesus taught us to. You are so good, God. And we thank you. Thank you that today, ordinary, messed up sinners like us can receive grace from a good God like you. Some of us, like that thief on the cross crucified next to Jesus, some of us we're getting what we deserve and we're seeing the consequences of our actions. And even now, we find ourselves reaching out to you and putting our trust in you and finding that you forgive us, that you welcome us, you don't reject us. Thank you, God, for not treating us as our sins deserve. Thank you for the grace that you offer, for the new life that you give. Help us not to settle for anything less than this beautiful life that you created us for the life that you give us, this new life that wells up within us as you give us the gift of your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ that takes up residence in us, oh man, that changes us. Thank you, God. We celebrate this amazing love in this sacrament of Holy Communion. We offer to you these gifts of bread and juice, and we pray that by your Spirit's presence here, we might meet our crucified and risen Savior in his body and in his blood. We remember, Jesus, that during this Holy Week, as you celebrated the Passover with your disciples, commemorating the way God had rescued his people from slavery in Egypt long ago, Jesus, you reimagined this meal. And you said, God is doing something even bigger here and now. You took bread and broke it and gave it to your disciples and said, this is my body broken for you. Eat it in remembrance of me. You took the cup and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me. So Jesus, today we don't just remember the way you rescued your people from slavery, from a political foe long ago in Egypt. We remember the way that you set us free from sin and death, the way you have won the victory over our enemy, the devil, so that today we don't have to be enslaved to sin any longer. We can live free because you gave your life as a ransom for us. Thank you, Jesus. You have given your life to us, and so we offer ourselves to you. We lift up grateful hearts to you. We thank you for this grace that you offer. We acknowledge our need of it, our need of your grace. We've not always loved you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. We've not always loved our neighbors as ourselves. We've not always been willing to let you set the terms for how you want to lead us, Jesus. Forgive us for these and for any other sins that we find ourselves weighed down by today, things you might be pointing out to us that right now are still working their destructive damage in our lives and the lives of the people around us. God, help us to recognize this as sin and to turn from it, to turn to you so that you can forgive us as you've always wanted to, so we can experience the freedom from sin that you have purchased for us. Thank you, God, that your word tells us if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just. You forgive us our sins, and you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wash us clean today. Help us to experience that freedom that you've purchased for us with your blood, Lord Jesus. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. Change us from the inside out, that we might live in this world as the body of Christ, as your hands, as your feet. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The musicians are going to come and lead us in one last song as we celebrate communion together. This is open to all of us. Anyone who's saying yes to Jesus today is welcome to come as we sing. Come on forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the cup, and eat it, and then return to your seats. We've got the regular, like, pita bread. We've got some round gluten-free wafers. Or we've got the little cups that you can take back and peel it back to get to the bread and juice. Maybe you picked one of those up on your way in. We do all this so that every one of us can know that we are welcome at Christ's table, welcome to receive his grace and to celebrate his love. Let's do that today.
Sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and he carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah. Redeemer, Emmanuel. ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. All our hope is in you. All our hope is in you. All the glory to you, God, the light of the world, Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of Messiah, Lord of all.
Thank you again, Lord Jesus, for being the King that we need, giving your life for us to set us free. Help us to follow you, to trust you, and to allow you to change us as you lead us into this beautiful life you created us to live. We are so grateful. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.